Glenn, thanks much.
Yes, you're welcome.
I'm glad you were. I'll get the address right to begin with. I put a .org on it. It's glennring.com. .com, isn't it? Yeah. I want it. Yeah, you can ask a question, sure.
Glenn, I got to see what your take is on, 15 out of 16 up days in the Dow? I mean, are we ever going to have another down week in that thing?
Sure. Sometime as long as I live another 20 years. actually, I've got major, major timing turns due in the third quarter this year, and I think we're going to race into it. I really think what we're going to have happen here is a speculative rush back to the equities, especially after how, all in all, the commodity funds haven't done that well. This diversification has really bit them in the rear, except unless you're the 20% minority that have done well. And so I think you're going to see a lot of money rotate back into the equities, and I think this is a race to a climax top.
Okay.
So,
yeah, but not necessarily right now, huh?
Well, nothing urgent in here. Now, April's got some history to make highs in the stock market, but the way you've extended it out right here, it acts like the next up leg is going.
Wow.
It's really rare to gap up in the indexes like we did, and legitimate gaps. We came in buyers and we finished the week buyers. It's one thing to gap and then finish soft, you know, because that's often a knee-jerk. Somebody came back with a lot of confidence in here. And actually, you know, after the stumbles we had off of China and Iran making people nervous enough, we've got that out of the way. And with China just soaring again, it's not a surprise we're starting to come alive elsewhere.
Well, if we started to see a deflationary trend in commodities like you touched
mm-hmm.
on, I mean, would Wall Street view that as bullish because now all of a sudden your inputs are cheaper?
Sure, for a while. History on the energies and such that on the runs that we've had say that we are the clock is ticking on a major economic slowdown despite the good news now. And the early stages of a major economic slowdown of this style often do see input prices first drop and make the balance sheet look better. But it becomes an illusion because what's happening is not only the prices starting to drop in commodities because the demand has been fulfilled, but you're also getting a slowdown in demand that catches up later on. And so, you know, the businesses that are making money off of the cheaper commodity prices eventually also see the demand for their, for their products slow down. So I'll put it to you this way. The next time somebody comes along with that greeting, you know, maybe you live in interesting times, I'm liable to deck them. Because that's what we're going through. I mean, these are about as interesting a time as I've ever seen. And I really, you know, we came in on, when I saw this gap this Monday, on Monday morning, and I watched this week develop in the stock indexes, I think that we were really at, this is the week that will go down as having changed, signaled the grand change in the marketplace that we are getting ready, in my view, highly likely we're getting ready to start major down legs in commodities, with possible exception of meats, and allowing for the short-term seasonal influences in the grains to carry them. But I think I've got this year being a big down year in commodities by the time we get into fall.
Energies, too?
Energies especially.
Hmm. Boy, maybe we live in interesting times.
Yeah, I've got major self-signals on the energies if we take out this week's lows.
Really?
Yeah. But we got to take out this week's lows,
and
too.
And that could sure tie into the bean oil, too, I suppose.
Yeah, it sure would. I mean, if you look at what we've done for the last 12 months, just on average in many markets, sure, we have the exceptions like corn, but if you look across the marketplace, gold, silver, even bean oil, surprisingly, there you have to go 2 years rather than one full year. But like I said about the CRB, we're only up 1%. Gold and silver are lower than where they were a year ago in May. Energy is lower than where they were a year ago in May. Copper, lower than where it was a year ago. Most of my work showed that last May and the first quarter through the first third of the year, second quarter through the middle third of the year last year was the beginning of a major topping phase in commodities. And I really believe, like I say, this week could be the beginning of the final end of that topping phase in commodities.
So, Glenn,
whether it's a slide into this fall and we restart the bulls after that, or if it's a slide into 2010 and we restart the bulls after that.
So, Glenn, you're looking for a slowdown in Asian growth and their slowdown in their buying sprees then?
I think that's presumptive that will happen, but I go back to what I said earlier. I really don't care why it works. Because I have learned that I outsmart myself when I try to find the reason too often.
Are you a follower of the Commitment of Traders reports?
I'm aware of them.
Mm-hmm.
I am not. I don't use them analytically. Not that they don't have value, but they are not. They are not specifically in my trading model.
Well, I've just read a couple blogs this last week. A lot of people seem to be expressing some skepticism whether they're even accurate or not. And I just wondered if you had any thoughts on that.
Good.
Apparently
because
does.
When that kind of uncertainty starts fitting into the marketplace, that tells me a lot. That is very stereotypical for the end times of a phase. Doubt in the accuracy of things like that, et cetera. I think what you, if you go back here and look through, not directly related to that, but it is, the commitment of, not of the soybean market for, rallied on spec money. Soybeans did not rally because corn prices drove soybean prices up. Because corn never drives soybeans up. Buyers drive soybeans up. Look who bought them. It was that buffalo herd mentality of fund managers needing to buy something, and soybeans were greener pasture for a time. They ran the thing up, and then what? You know, they're like a young man that doesn't care a darn thing about the gal he's with. You know, he'll promise her the world tonight, and tomorrow he's gone. And that's what the traders do, have done with the soybean markets and others. We are so over leveraged. With the spec money that was around, is around, that fundamentals haven't mattered. I mean, you tell me what the fundamental value of corn is. You know, with December futures around 375 tonight, I'll tell you one thing I know, it isn't 375. It might be 475 or it might be 275, but with the amount of fund money and stuff that we've had in the marketplace, the prices we have don't represent value right now. They represent price. And so we took beans way over value in my thinking, but that didn't even play into my trading them. I just started selling them after they showed me a top. And I think now that herd mentality of money starts moving out, you see these prices liquidating.
Given that, I'm interested to know what you think about the electronic trade at the board.
It's reality. It just is. It's taking over the volume. I'm pleasantly surprised with how it seems to be functioning. I was concerned. I've been one of the diehards that have stayed with the pits as long as I could. But now the pits are getting to be the lousy fills and electronics doing pretty well. I have had to adjust a little bit on the volatility standpoint of where my stops go.
Well, again, no, I'm not sure that I mean that. I mean, does it allow does electronic trading allow the boy to take the girl out just for fun, in your terms?
Hey, the spec fund, the money moves around, sure.
More easily?
I don't know. It just was it was actually all the way back prior to 2000, this whole thing has been a predictable phase. Because when you have this great equity expansion that the stock market drove, when that starts to peak, then the money starts to rotate. We rotated into real estate, and then we rotated into commodities, and then now we're going to have one last fling in the stock market, and God forbid that history proves out all the way because we rotate into cash. And that is hugely deflationary. That, there are some reasons to doubt that this time because we have never had a fiat currency last this long. The other times that we've done this in history is we rotate back to cash because the cash represented hard money. So it makes it creates an entirely different, not an entirely different, but a markedly different scenario. I think most of us would agree that when you look at let's use the CRB as the basket again, being 1% higher than a year ago, with the dollar decline that we've had in that last year, the CRB has lost value in the last year, buying power value, because of the declining dollar and other things inflating. So. We are losing value already. We are deflating in our buying power. But this is just a predictable historical pattern going back through centuries and centuries of this kind of a rotation. It just repeats. And so, like I say, you have your equity expansion. And you know, prior to the 1900s, equity expansion often was tied directly to raw commodities. But you still have an equity expansion in paper assets, and you have it rotates out to real estate, it rotates out to an expansion in real, physical, tangible items, and then it rotates out into pure safety, and that's cash. So we shall see.
In your technical analysis, do you tend to use day session only charts, or would you at this point include the, be more apt to use electronic?
I learned a lesson in 1998-99 when I kept waiting for a second wave of low in crude oil that I missed. I use them all.
You do?
I use them. I use
so
both.
You do a composite?
I use them all. I use them both ways.
Mm-hmm. Look at both separately?
I do my homework and look at both ways. Look at the day only. I look at the composite sessions. I look at electronic only. I look at continuation nearby charts. I look at contract-specific charts. Because people, I make my living being an analyst, mostly. And so they're paying me to do my homework. And so I look at them all.
Okay.
There's no one right answer to that. And I'll tell you the one thing that I think is probably is more important today than ever, is standing back and looking at the long-term charts in addition to anything else you're doing. Because most, your studies or your surveys of average traders, somewhere between 80 and 95% of your day-to-day performers never look at anything longer than a daily chart.
Mm-hmm, I bet.
So they lose the advantage. So.
Well, Glenn, we appreciate you being with us. Is it okay if we take this last, I don't know whether it's 10 or 15 or
sure.
minutes, and we use it in our After the Bell segment?
Sure.
Thank you much. We appreciate it.
Is Alan still there?
She is.
Yeah,
Alan. This is a 20-year-old thank you, or a hi. You came and spoke when I was in Watertown, South Dakota.
Oh my gosh!
You did a day-long workshop for us.
Oh wow!
When I was with FGL at that time.
Well, it's a long time ago.
Yes, it is. So I respected your work then and still do.
Well, thank you.
So, and glad to see you. I hadn't heard you up close for a long time, and I'm just glad to hear you on. So,
thank you.
You bet.
Thanks, Glenn.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right.